On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, hosts Jonathan and Joe are back, and Michael and I convinced Joe to watch the movie Clue.
It was me in the studio with a microphone.
I don't actually have a segue to our shameless book plug from that. I just was really excited for the Clue reference. I guess just like you'll be really excited when you get the We Don't Know Either book and you learn all of the fun trivia things that are found within it. You know where to get it. We Don't Know Either.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 357 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Joe.
Welcome back, Jonathan and Joe.
Doubleheader. Happy to be back.
Yes.
It's good to have you guys back.
Yes, your host extraordinaire and now podcaster extraordinaire. What do you feel you learned from that first episode in terms of podcasting that you're going to really try to bring to this episode?
Well, I had to cough for like the last 7 minutes of the podcast. So what I learned is you can hold it in, and also it's a soundproof room, so just cough directly into the walls.
Oh, all right.
Don't actually do that. That's incredibly unsanitary.
I was going to say that's a good lesson, kind of, maybe.
It's not. It's a terrible lesson. Don't do it.
Dude, this is my office.
Oh, all right, cool. Well, Jonathan, I think you kind of went second to last week, so I would like you to kick us off with your interesting fact. Also, this is the last episode of 2019, so make it good.
Oh, boy. Hopefully Michael doesn't get this one right away, because that bodes poorly for me.
Yeah. No pressure there.
So I'm going to go down a Western Union rabbit hole. So every week I'm standing up at Craft House in Fairfax with Matt, and he typically asks the podcast questions, and he says, you know, you can find them in all these places. And I turn to him one week, I go, you know, what about by Telegram?
Oh,
so, okay. So we're sitting there, and he's hosting his round, and I go down a rabbit hole of, when did Western Union stop sending telegrams?
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's
so, yes. Yeah, so Western Union did stop sending telegrams. That was one of their premier services back in the day.
I have to imagine it was very recently. For whatever reason, I feel like that's sticking in my head. Like, it was a thing they did, and they only recently stopped. You have to figure, well, who can receive a telegram? I guess an other Western Union.
So when they did discontinue, they still had the same kind of method as before, right? That not necessarily send it over a wire with Morse code, but still send it and hand deliver it with a courier.
Okay.
I just know the only thing I really know about telegrams are the singing telegrams from Clue, and I hope that they still exist.
Nice reference.
Yeah, I hope that they still exist. Clue's one of my all-time favorite movies, and that has nothing to do with this fact.
At first, I just straight up thought like that was something from the board game. I've never seen the movie. I have never heard of that movie. And I thought, I was like, is there like a deluxe edition of Clue where like they straight up sing the clues to you? Like it's the rope in the billiards room with Professor Plum or something like that.
I think we stumbled upon a new business model for some live interactive
singing board games.
Yeah, we got to tell our escape room partners that we have a great new idea for them. Pay to play a board game with some sing-songy things, fun things. But anyway, I'd highly recommend the movie.
The movie is great.
Yeah, 1970s, Tim Curry, a bunch of really fun cast members. It's just fun. And then they also had, I think one of the few times in movie release history that they did three alternate endings. So depending on which theater you went to, you had a different ending. So it wouldn't spoil it because you and I would have seen different endings. And then in the actual VHS DVD copy, they did all three and were basically like, well, what if? And then this is what actually happened. But when you went and saw in theaters, you didn't know.
Choose your own adventure.
That's really cool.
Yeah, Joe, you have to see Clue. I can't blame you for not seeing it. That's fine because it's old. What did you say, Michael, it was?
1985 was the release date. I can, however, blame you for not seeing Clue because it is fantastic.
Is it based off of the board game? Like
yes.
Battleship? Okay.
No, the characters are all in there. And it's so cool.
My thought was like, is it like Battleship the movie but better?
I never saw Battleship.
With Rihanna, right?
Rihanna,
yes. Okay. The whole point, I asked because I saw that and the reviews were terrible. And before I saw it, I was just like, wait, so is it like Battleship the Game? And the whole point is basically the aliens have cut off all communication. They're firing blind, like in a grid. And all they can hear is the sound of if it hits or misses. That is the actual plot.
That, really?
Yeah.
Looks like I have a full weekend ahead of me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So what was your question?
When did Western Union shut down their telegram service?
Western Union shut down their telegram service? Well, as we know in Clue, it did not end well for her. Spoiler alert. But I would think that then I'll base that and say, okay, it was after 1985 that they shut it down.
Okay.
So I'm using Clue as my standard to find this fact. And I think it was probably the 90s. I'm going to say the internet killed the telegram. And I'm going to say 1995.
I'm going to go way more recent than that. I got to figure that there's probably some people for whom this was just cheaper, especially if you don't have internet access. It's a rural area, something like that. Like, where is the physical infrastructure? I'm going to say, like, 2017.
Whoa, so super recent.
Super recent. For whatever reason, this is sticking in my head. I feel like I saw this, like, while scrolling Twitter, and it's just, it's in my brain.
Okay.
Okay. I'm actually going to split the difference. I like where Lindsay's logic train is going, but I don't think it was the internet that may have killed the telegram. I think it was text messaging. As soon as you're able to just text phone to phone. So I'm going to say, like, thinking about it, I'm going to say, like, 2005 is what I'm going with.
All right. So they sent the first telegram in 1851, just to give you some context. At the height of their business was 1929. They sent about 200 million telegrams that year.
Ooh.
And they shut down on January 27th, 2006.
Oh.
Wow, Michael, well done.
So, solid logic.
So from their last year in 05, they only sent about 21,000 down from 200 million. And, and to your to the point about how expensive they were at the decline, they were about $10 a message.
Oof.
So, yikes. And there were about 10 messages sent the last day, a few birthday cards, and a bunch of people just trying to be the last telegram sent.
Wow. Cool. What's the process? How do you book a telegram? Like, how do you – is
I think it was similar to like how you send money through Western Union now, right? Go to the store and say, you know, I need to deliver this message to this person and ship it across the world.
Wow. So 2005. Cool.
2006.
2006. Sorry, Michael's guess was 2005. Yes. The correct answer is 2006, but still super interesting. Sorry, Joe.
You know, you got to wonder what do they do with all that leftover infrastructure? Presumably there's all of these telegram lines just sitting dead now. Like, what do you do with that? Can you modify it?
Yeah, from what I was reading, I think by the decline, they weren't necessarily using the what are they called?
So that problem
and dashes anymore.
That problem had existed for 100 years prior to that.
Yeah,
they were probably just shooting emails across, going like, hey, this is Telegram.
Shoot an email across and have it delivered, you know, by a person was still, people like to send birthday messages and official correspondence for companies were still using it for certain contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is one of those things that'll ever come back, like, kind of in, like, hipster part of Brooklyn or something like that? It's like, you know what? I'm going to send a telegram.
I definitely would have. I was thinking about that. I was like, I would pay $30 to have a stranger show. But it would need to be in costume. And
oh, absolutely.
They would need to have some sort of funny object. Perhaps balloons or a rubber chicken. I'm open.
And I think it would need to happen at an inconvenient time. I'm correct. Thinking like a job interview.
Yes.
I feel like you could hire those like characters in Times Square that are in costume. I feel like if you gave one of them $100, they'd do pretty much whatever you asked. If you're like, I need you to go into that building and like ask for a person who's in an interview, they'd probably do it. They're in Times Square in costume.
As long as they stay in the blue square in Times Square, you're good.
There we go.
Oh man, we're not advocating for people breaking into other people's homes in furry costumes, just to be clear.
Wow.
And we're not saying to break in and steal brooms.
We don't know either podcast. We don't know either podcast does not endorse these things. Okay, so who's got a segue from the last telegram to your facts?
It's a lot of blank stares right there.
Yeah. A lot of blank stares.
Desperately tries to think about telegram facts.
I'm trying.
Okay, I got one.
All right then.
So Jonathan, you said that the rate of telegrams declined pretty aggressively, right?
Very rapidly.
So you would say it fell.
If that helps your segue, sure.
Yes. So they fell pretty rapidly and pretty steeply. So I want to ask about waterfalls specifically. So the first question that leads into it, what's the highest waterfall in the world? I thought this was like a common trivia thing.
So
but
is
not.
That Victoria Falls?
Angel Falls.
Angel
Victoria
Falls.
Falls is a... That's a big one, too, but Angel Falls is the tallest at 3,200 feet, roughly, from, you know, peak to basin. So that's the highest waterfall in the world, but it's not technically the largest. So according to the National Ocean Service, there's an underwater waterfall. So, you know, hot water rises, cold water falls, just like air and other things that have temperature, I guess.
Sure.
So there's a huge underwater waterfall in between Greenland and Iceland. It's called the Denmark Strait. And I'd like to know how big that underwater waterfall is.
Okay.
So how tall, I guess, really? It's not really tall or height because it's underwater, but how big is that underwater waterfall in the Denmark Strait? And again, this is all according to the National Ocean Service.
What unit of measurement are we using?
We're using feet.
Okay. So everything I know about waterfalls comes from a TLC song telling me not to chase them.
But you can
just stick to the rivers.
You can go ahead and chase underwater waterfall facts.
You need a pretty good submarine, but you can do it.
Yeah. No, actually, I would like to lock that in as the secret phrase, by the way. Chase waterfall facts.
Chase waterfall facts.
Yeah. Chase waterfall facts. What do you got, Michael?
Chase waterfall facts.
Chase waterfall facts.
Yeah. Chase. So go ahead and chase waterfall facts. And you can sing the song, too, to your host if you really want to be fun. Okay. So what do you guys got?
If it's going to be a couple hundred feet, because if we're trying to think, well, what's the relative scale here? It's taller than waterfalls that are, you know, a couple hundred feet tall. Well, I guess, you know, magnify that, but still keep it in the same range. I'm going to say 500 feet.
500 feet.
Okay. I'm going way higher, mostly because you said, what did you say Angel Falls was?
3,200.
3,200.
Roughly.
I totally misheard that then. Cool.
3,200.
Would you like to revise your guess?
5,000?
Yeah, so 3,000 feet tall, roughly, for Angel Falls in Venezuela.
Okay.
The Yosemite Falls in the United States, which is the tallest waterfall in the United States, is 2,425 feet.
Those it's gorgeous, by the way, if you guys haven't been. It's cool. We went, like, as kids, growing up in California, so you end up at Yosemite at some point.
I don't know what the tourist destination for the underwater waterfall is. I don't think it's pretty non-existent.
Yeah. I'm going to say, with like in my typical throwing a dart while blindfolded, I'm going to say like 10,000 feet.
Okay.
I have no reason for that answer.
All right.
And I may be wildly off.
So three times bigger than Angel Falls.
Yeah.
All right. Jonathan, what do you got?
I'm going to throw a different dart and say it's about a mile, so about 5,200-ish feet.
Okay. Well, Michael, once again, you have proven to blindly guess correctly.
Hey.
Yeah, so this waterfall is nearly 2 miles. So it's 11,500 feet deep. 11,500 feet. The cold water flows downward. It looks like a big old cliff. And it's 123 million cubic feet per second that actually flow down this underwater thing, and it's way, way, way below the surface. 2,000 feet below the surface, so it's not like people really go visit it. They just know that it exists, basically. And then the link that I'll have will actually show you the chart to scale, so you can see how much bigger it is than the Angel Falls. So there you go.
All right,
that's cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's got a segue now?
From underwater waterfalls. How you feeling there, Joe?
From underwater waterfalls. Okay. Waterfalls. The only reason we know that is because of an oceanic survey, a record?
National Oceanic Service, I think is what Lindsay said.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the U.S. Department of Commerce.
Okay. So that's a, you know, something to do with the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right.
The U.S. Constitution is also something that has to do with the U.S. government.
That goes in the Hall of Fame for biggest stretch.
We've had worse.
I had to work with underwater waterfalls, so I don't know where you wanted me to go with that.
We got there.
Well, yeah. So I found this out recently, and I will tell you how after, because it'll spoil it otherwise. I'll tell you how I came upon it. But it turns out that if you're a regular citizen, just Joe Schmo, like you or me or anybody else, not an elected official, there's still two ways that you can violate the Constitution itself. Not just lawbreaking, but you can break straight up the whole Constitution.
Okay.
Out of the 27 amendments between 1st and 27th that we have, which two can you break?
Okay, so I'm assuming we're, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to sound really dumb if this isn't true, one of the amendments is setting the voting age at 18.
Yeah, that was the 26th amendment.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're not talking about that one, where it's like, okay, if I'm underage, then, because if you're talking about, like, for everybody at this table, for example, we're all over 18.
You wouldn't be breaking that if in that scenario, the person breaking it is like the registrar who allowed you to vote, and they're an elected official.
Got it. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. So what other amendments do we know? Let's talk about them.
I mean, I know 1 through 10.
I know like all the freedoms. Typically, if you're in a private business, you give up some of those freedoms sometimes.
Right.
This is such an
abstract prohibition's in there, but then prohibition was repealed by a different amendment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
18 and 21. Am I getting that right?
You're correct on that.
Yeah.
I recently found a way to remember that is 18, you're not allowed to drink, but 21, you are. That's how I remember prohibition.
Yeah.
Michael looks so proud.
I am very proud. And here's the thing. I was like 30 when I learned it. So.
It's about the most sense anyone's ever made of the drinking age.
Right?
Okay. I know that there's a few about, you know, salaries and, you know, obviously ending slavery.
Sure.
But those, obviously, you're not – they're the bigger picture ones that, you know, we as an individual aren't going to break.
Right.
So now I feel like it's the nitty gritty. Can you give us a hint and say, is it part of the Bill of Rights? Is it part of the first 10 or the later ones?
Neither of the two are part of the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
And they have been discussed this far. It is less nitty gritty. One of them is nitty gritty. One of them is more bigger picture. But both of them are things that, again, that an individual, not an elected official, can do. Like you or I could try to do this and it would be not just illegal, it would be unconstitutional.
Like tax somebody? Could I like issue my own tax?
No. So that's again, that's something like how would you even go about doing that? Like you don't have the infrastructure to do that.
Joe, people find me taxing and I get that a lot. So
accurate statement.
So I feel like I already as an individual am an unconstitutional.
Well, no, the 16th Amendment would give you the right to be taxing on people. So
all right. What else we got, Jonathan? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm struggling on this one.
Does it have to do with indentured servitude at all?
Not, you're close.
Okay, I'm wondering if it's one of the slavery ones where if you yourself enter into an indentured servitude kind of thing, would that be violating the Constitution?
So it's
like a 50 Shades of Grey.
It's not indentured servitude, but you're on the right track.
I don't know. I got nothing. I think you stumped us.
Yeah. All right. So regarding that, so the 13th Amendment, which explicitly outlaws slavery,
mm-hmm.
does not do so just for the government. If anybody, like if it was a situation where you kidnapped somebody and took them down, that's unconstitutional. The other one regarding the drinking age, the 21st Amendment, which repealed the 18th, also made it unconstitutional to violate a state's liquor importation laws. So I learned about this fun fact because I work in a wine shop on the weekends, Crystal City Wine Shop. It's a fun place. And it turns out, like, there's only two ways to do things that are unconstitutional. Literal slavery, or if you, like, bring bathtub gin across the state border, that's a constitutional violation.
Because the state didn't get their cut of the tax?
Well, so bathtub gin is illegal in all 50 states. There are other alcohols, like certain beers, that are too high for certain state percentages or whatever. But if it's not legal in that state and you cross that line, either because they didn't get their tax or they ban it, it's a straight-up constitutional violation, which is weirdly important. Like, it feels super overemphasized, but so be it.
And now I understand what you're saying about the slavery violation. I was thinking much more detailed. Okay, that makes sense. Cool.
13th and 21st Amendment.
13th and 21st Amendment. All right. So 13th and 21st. All right.
Before
Michael.
We go off of this, there's a Twitter account I follow called Crime a Day. And
I love Crime a Day.
Right, where he tells you a federal law every day, and they're the most obscure things. So one that they shared yesterday is this code makes it a federal crime to sell canned yellow peaches unless the peaches are within the color range of pale yellow to rich red. So every day you get just a random federal code that you had no idea existed that's just absolutely absurd.
And they're not ones that have been repealed or taken aback? They still exist?
Yep, as far as I know. So we'll put that in the link dump, too, of just the link to that page.
The bio to that Twitter page... it says that it's based on an attempt in, I think it was like 1987.
82.
Let's see, what are all the laws? We should probably know them before we, like, okay, if ignorance can't be counted as a defense, somebody somewhere should know them all. And they tried and they said it was the most terrible effort ever. We should never do this again. It's impossible.
Yeah, I'm finding that out with marriage and registry, or getting a marriage license, because in Pennsylvania, the burden of proof is on the couple to prove that the marriage is legal. So, like, I could go and say, hey, you know, here's Michael, and he's cool to go. And Pennsylvania would say, yeah, Michael, you're great. But let's say, you know, 10 years down the line, they're looking at something and be like, oh, that was never actually legal, so your marriage doesn't exist and it's void forever. And it's coming up because of, you know, we're getting a priest from out of state and there's all these different laws. So we're trying to do our due diligence. And since the burden of proof of legality is on us as a couple, we go to the county websites and we go to the state websites. But there's no way to know exactly what's legal and what's not, and which online churches, if it counts for the laws. And the county offices are purposely keeping everything kind of vague because there's a lot of court cases going on as to what online or ordained actually count. It's a whole big mess. And so it's not surprising to me that we don't know what laws exist.
I was going to say, can you just ask someone from Pennsylvania who got married there? Like, that seems weirdly complicated.
It depends by county. So some people are saying the Universal Life Church is good. Some people don't. It's a whole big thing. We're just going to get a Quaker license. So that's our plan.
They're friends.
Yeah. No, seriously, you can do it. So you can do it.
So coming off of your amendment thing, and you mentioned slavery.
Yes.
Lincoln.
He was a guy.
It was also a movie.
Yes, it was.
Starring Daniel Day-Lewis, that was released by Touchstone Pictures.
This is
the stretch that I'm going with, but I made the connection and I'm there.
I'm waiting for you to go one step further and other people who've touched a stone.
No, Touchstone Pictures is where I'm leaving it. So yeah. Touchstone Pictures was actually a studio that was created for the sole benefit of releasing more mature content.
Oh. Okay.
So my question is, who's the parent studio?
I read this last night when I was looking for facts, so I'll sit back and take a glory shot at the end.
Parent of Touchstone Studios. So it's going to be like a bigger publisher like Fox or Paramount or something like that.
Right.
Well, I'm trying to think what would want to make more mature content. So they weren't already making mature content. So is this like Disney or something like that?
That's exactly what it is. Well, it was put out. Here's the thing. It's one of those things that it was like you can get there pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But I just found it super fascinating because I remember seeing all the Touchstone stuff, especially as a kid. But they got a bunch of they got the highest grossing list here. But it's actually a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company.
Huh.
And they only put it out because they wanted to release more PG-13 and R-rated movies, but didn't want to do it under the Walt Disney name.
That's a brilliant branding move.
It really is.
Nice. Okay, so your fact isn't about Lincoln, is what I guess.
No, I took it from slavery to Lincoln to the movie about Lincoln to Touchstone, and then my fact was about Touchstone.
3 degrees, that's not bad.
It took me a while to get there, but...
Got it.
At least you didn't have to deal with underwater waterfalls.
Right.
I saw Lincoln in the theater, and I still cannot believe that there was the audible gasp when, you know, the assassination happened. Like, a couple people in the theater were genuinely really shocked.
Spoilers.
And I was like, yeah. And I will remember that every time the movie Lincoln comes up.
I'm concerned for those people. Like, I feel like you walk into Lincoln, it's like, you know how the story ends, right? Like, this is not a drama in that sense. Yeah. It's not a thriller.
They did not know. And I'm,
oh my God.
It's like the people that were shocked at the end of Titanic. It's like, come on, guys.
We read about this.
We were there.
What happens at the end of Titanic?
Oh, God.
Does it go down an underwater fall?
Lindsay, I got some bad news for you.
No, I jest. Okay, well, we got to actually wrap this episode up. If you're looking for the secret phrase, it was already way back at the beginning of the episode. And like we said, you can make a song out of it. So that's a lot of fun. But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. Have a very, very happy 2020.
See you in the new year.
Yeah.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Joe.
And we don't know either.
Bye.